when you get up here. Okay, let's pray before I begin. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are with us, God with us. Lord, as I speak out today, I just pray that you would prepare hearts to hear what it is that you would have, that you would say to each one of us. Lord, may it be more of you and less of me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it was the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in the hope that St. Nicholas soon would be there. This well-known poem, first published anonymously and then claimed by Clement C. Moore in the 1800s, sets us up for a good story. And where does it lead? It leads to Father Christmas, St. Nicholas, presents, being good so we get, then there's the food, cleaning the house, family dynamics, reindeer on your lawn, make-believe. What fun. And it is. But where is your focus this Christmas? And where is mine? During this Advent season, how are you, how am I, preparing for the celebration and remembering Christ's birth, remembering the promises given and the promises fulfilled? Don't get me wrong, God is all for celebration, but where is our focus? Is it on him? Do we remember his promises, or have we been sidetracked into expectations, traditions, overspending, loneliness, frivolity, or fairy tale? The Bible is God's story, and Matthew is leading us up to the true story, the story of the Christ child coming into the world, Jesus our Saviour and Redeemer. This story points to God's plan of redemption for the world. This is the great story of all time. How God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son into the world as a helpless baby to live that perfect life and die an excruciating death. And he was buried. He did this for you and he did this for me, paying the price for our sin and the sins of the world. And on the third day, he rose again from the dead, conquering death, and now sits at God's right hand, interceding for us, and will come again to restore all things. Wow, this is not just God's story, but it's our story too. Isaiah 46:10, now see if I can do this. I make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times, what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. From the east, I summon a bird of prey. From far off land, a man to fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that I will do. As Tim was saying in communion, God is faithful. He is sovereign and he is our all sufficiency. God keeps his promises. This is a gift to us. A gift of hope. And every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. In the constant change of this world and our lives, God is unchanging. He is faithful, and therefore we know, we can be assured that God will do what he says he will do. I'm mainly focusing on Matthew 1 and 2 this morning, but we'll refer to some other passages. There are so many prophecies in the Bible that God has fulfilled, but I'll just try and concentrate on these ones. Now, we can trace Jesus' genealogy, so his family tree, back to Adam. But Matthew wrote his genealogy to the Jewish audience to assure them that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ. Matthew 1 establishes the humanity and the divinity of Jesus and begins with, This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Do you ever skip over the names in the genealogies? I know I do, but there is much to learn. In Jesus' genealogy, we see many of God's promises and prophecies fulfilled. The genealogy was really important to the Jewish people, and it proved that they were Jewish, that they were God's chosen people. It proved what tribe they belonged to, what land they were entitled to. It proved if a Jewish male could serve in the priesthood, if he was a Levite. It proved connection to important people, if they were related to Moses' family or in the line of King David. Ancestry was extremely important to the Israelites, the Jewish people. And the genealogy proves the origins of Jesus, that he was a legitimate heir to David's throne through Joseph, his adopted father, that he was the one promised so the Jewish people could be sure of his identity as the promised Messiah, the anointed one, and we can too. Jesus' genealogy begins with Abraham, who God gave the covenantal blessing to, and says in Genesis 12, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. We have seen this fulfilled. God has done this. God has made Abraham into a great nation and blessed him. And with the birth of Jesus, all people on earth have been blessed and are so blessed through Abraham. But before Abraham, in Genesis 5, God says, when God created mankind, he created them male and female and blessed them. In the account of Adam's family line, then there follows Noah's family line, and God says in Genesis 9, then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. And we also see that fulfilled. Back to the genealogy. King David was a man after God's own heart, and we know that he had his failings, and we also know that Jesus would come through David's line. It says in Isaiah, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. He will reign on David's throne. Now, to reign on David's throne means he has to be a descendant of David, and we see this in the genealogy. And also to reign, he must be a king. And so this prophecy is partially fulfilled. We see the now and the not yet. Jesus has come as a child, the son given. He is born in the line of David and now sits at God's right hand, ruling and reigning. But there is still a time coming when Jesus will take his rightful place, when he returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can know with assurance that this will happen, because at the end of the verse it says, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now, Matthew lists five women in Jesus' genealogy: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Uriah's wife Bathsheba, and Mary, each with a story to tell of God's grace and faithfulness. A few weeks ago, Dan mentioned Ahaz, and he was the king who the Lord said to ask for a sign. And Ahaz said, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing it right, he said he would not. This king, although he didn't follow God, was in Jesus' line too. God's work and promises do not depend on human worthiness, but on God's perfect plan. God is sovereign. One takeaway from the genealogy is that it reminds us Jesus is coming, of his coming, was the fulfillment of a promise made by God long ago. The genealogy ends with Joseph, who was the legal earthly father of Jesus and Mary. Oh, and Mary's mother, confirming Jesus' human lineage. Now we come to Jesus' divine origin. The story of Jesus' conception and birth. Jesus was born of woman, Mary, and was the very Son of God. Paraphrasing from Matthew 1, verse 18, Mary and Joseph were pledged to be married, and Mary was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. This created a serious crisis for Joseph. His honour was at stake, and so was Mary's. What was he to do? He thought to divorce Mary quietly so not to cause public disgrace. This is where God intervened and spoke directly to Joseph in a dream. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, giving God's clear instruction, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. We see God keeping his promises in Jesus. How do you see God's promises played out in your life? I find God with me amazing comfort. God has shown me his faithfulness in this, protecting, guiding, and providing for me and my family at just the right time. Now Joseph, he woke up and he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He took Mary home as his wife, but he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Now, naming a child is a big deal. Do you remember naming your toys as a child? Or picking names out for a pet, maybe? What about choosing a name when, plurally, you became pregnant? Names become quite a focus. Imagine as you named your teddy Cuddles, your goldfish Shark, or your fluffy dog Snowy. No one questioned it. But by the time your baby arrives, Cuddles, Shark and Snowy probably weren't going to work out in public. Although we do have many more rainbows, hawks and havocs running around these days, each their own. Back in the day, the responsibility for naming a child fell to the Jewish father. When God said to Joseph, name this child Jesus, Joseph had to make a decision. Shall I follow God or go my own way? In Joseph accepting the name Jesus for his son, he's accepting his situation and humbling himself to God, being willing to do things God's way. In between the angel visiting Joseph and Jesus being born, what happened? Well, we know the story well. Mary and Joseph were traveling. They were in the midst of God's prophecies and plan coming true. They were heading to Bethlehem in Judea to take part in the census. Today we can fill in a census in the comfort of our own home, sitting on the couch. But Mary and Joseph were required to go to their own town to register. Because Joseph belonged to the line of David, he had to go up from Nazareth to, in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem to register. God uses all sorts of circumstances to get us where he wants us to be. God's bird's eye picture was that the cosmos was moving. The Christ child, Jesus, was about to be born into this world. Jesus already was God in heaven before the creation of the world, but now the Holy Spirit had impregnated Mary, and Jesus was being formed as a human being in Mary's womb, travelling to Bethlehem. Despite our plans, God is moving. God quietly accomplished his plans. Jesus came unobtrusively in the womb of Mary, a young Jewish girl in Bethlehem. He was heralded in by angels and worshipped by shepherds at his birth, and Joseph named him Jesus. Throughout the genealogy of Jesus in Matthew 1, kingdoms have been established and kingdoms have fallen. Leaders have followed God and walked away from God. God's will still prevails, and his promises come to pass, and his son, the son is born, Jesus the Messiah, the anointed one, our promised saviour. It was all there, written in the prophets, for those who were looking. Which leads us to the Magi in Matthew 2. What makes grown men leave their home, travel for kilometres through the desert, looking for a baby? God does. The Magi had been looking for the signs that had come to Jerusalem, asking, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. God drew the Magi to come and worship the king. King Herod was not pleased to hear this. He was a particularly violent king who had killed many of his household, including a wife. He called together all the chief priests and the teachers of the law and asked, where is the Messiah to be born? And they answered, in Bethlehem, in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. God's plans are in motion. He is keeping his promise. Now Herod secretly called the Magi and found out the exact time the star had appeared and said, go and search for the child carefully. As soon as you find him, report to me so I may go and worship him. Of course, Herod really wanted to kill him. The Magi went on their way, following the star. They followed it until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. They came to the house and saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gold and frankincense and myrrh. What gifts would you bring a king? Rosie and I were having to wait in line for a COVID test the other day, which is all negative, just by the way. But we were there for several hours, so we had plenty to do. And Rosie had listened to a podcast of Hamish and Andy, who are a couple of comedians, if you don't know who they are. And they had decided to present a three wise men challenge on this podcast. One of their friends was about to have a baby, their first baby, and they were putting it to the vote. The adjudicators would be Jack, aka the father Joseph, the father of the new baby, the public, and, as Hamish put it, the young lord himself. The gift had a price limit of $100 and could be homemade. The challenge was set and the segment closed with, good luck, wise men, and I'll see you in the desert. It was quite funny, you had to listen to it. But so much of it was wrong. They knew quite a lot, but just as so many people have latched on to elements of the poem that I started with. They have some ideas from the stories, but they have not had the revelation of the truth. They latch on to the fairy tale and parts of the Bible story. If only they realised who this royal baby was. The Magi opened their treasure boxes and presented Jesus with gold, representing kingship, royalty, purity and value. Frankincense was incense used in worship, and myrrh was used in embalming bodies. These gifts foretold who Jesus was, a king who was worthy of worship, who had come to die and redeem us. How will you, how will I worship the Messiah who was promised long ago? Worshipped by magi and angels and shepherds. How far will you go to meet the Lord? And what are you willing to bring? The Magi did not go back to Herod as they were warned in a dream, and they went back to their country by another way. After this, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in another dream and said, get up, Oh, no, he didn't. Yes, he did. Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for this child and kill him. Joseph did this and stayed in Egypt until Herod died. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet Hosea. Out of Egypt I call my son. When Herod realized he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious. He gave orders for all the boys in Bethlehem and the vicinity under two to be killed. After Herod's death, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream in Egypt and said to return to the land of Israel. Joseph obeyed, but when he had heard Herod's son, Archelaus, was reigning in Judea, he withdrew to Galilee and went to live in the town of Nazareth after being warned in yet another dream. Another prophecy fulfilled that Jesus would be called a Nazarene. Jesus' light shines and some are drawn to him and believe and others reject him. Those that knew the prophecies that announced the arrival of King Jesus failed to seek him. Whereas the Magi came from distant lands, followed the light of the star until they were in his very presence. As we heard from Dan last week, God's people had been scattered, living in exile until they humbled themselves and were gathered once again into his promised land. Now we have choices every day how we will respond to God. We are either for God or we are against him in all that we do. Will I choose the narrow gate or the wide one? Will I remain in exile or humble ourselves and be gathered into God's kingdom? King Herod was a selfish, hateful king who wanted to protect his kingship and not his people, and he rejected God. Whereas the Magi responded to God, travelling a considerable distance, bringing gifts with a posture of humility, and they were ushered into Jesus' very presence. Joseph and Mary responded in obedience. How will you, how will I respond to King Jesus? God keeps his promises, and in doing so, his original blessing to Abraham. I will bless you, I will increase your number, make your name great, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. How have you seen God intervene in your life? And do you know his blessing to you personally? You are his precious child. As God keeps his promises to Adam, to Abraham, to David, and to Jesus, we can trust that he is a promise-keeping God and will keep his promise for us and to us. The Magi were witnesses to the first coming of Jesus the Messiah. Could we be witnesses of his second coming? Revelation 22, 6 and 7, the angel said to me, that's to John, these words are trustworthy and true. The Lord, the God who inspires the prophets, sent his angel to show his servants the things that must soon take place. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. In verse 16 and 17, Jesus says, I have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come, and let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life. So as we celebrate Christmas this year and remember all God has done, let us look forward to the glorious day of Jesus' return. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, which is living and active, like a double-edged sword, that it has your truths in there, has your promises. Lord, thank you that we can count on you, that you are sovereign. Lord, I just pray that we would take your truths and that you would seal them in our hearts, May we have a posture always looking to you and that hope of your glorious return. In Jesus' name, amen.